We're very grateful for your presence tonight, and I appreciate the privilege of participating in your missions conference once again. I think the miracle of the decade is the opening of the Soviet Union and some other nations as well, and this is no accident. And may I share with you, before we look at what I feel the Lord would have us to see tonight, some four or five passages of Scripture. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 and 31. Ezekiel chapter 22, 30 and 31. God searching. And the implication is that it is quite difficult to find someone that would get between him and a people or a country or a language or a nation. Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man. And may I say tonight, according to the word of God, to open the doors in a nation or open the doors in a tribe or a language or open the doors for a city, all it takes is one person believing God. I don't understand it theologically. I can understand how that Almighty Jehovah God would choose to limit himself to his people. But he says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. You see, if there is not, and tonight we've seen something happen the last 3 years, over 20 new countries come on the scene of the world. 240 odd nations. But to be honest with you tonight, there are nations of the world where there's not a single believer in Jesus Christ. And there is no one standing between that nation and God to hold back his judgment. You see, if there can be one person found to intercede, to get between God and them, he holds back his wrath, his judgment for a period of time. He said, that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Verse 31, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. But they're not only 240 odd countries tonight, there are some 3,480 languages yet tonight without a single preacher of the gospel or single verse of scripture. I said 3,480. Why? Because the fact no one has taken many of those tribes. You see, they stand in need of adoption tonight. That someone would adopt a Bible-less tribe, a preacherless language, and began to intercede. And missiologists have, in the past few years, began to focus in on people groups as well, recognizing the fact that over the world there are many clusters or groups of people that have been overlooked. A people group, doesn't make any difference the size of it. It's whatever gives a group of people a sense of identity. Maybe language, maybe ethnic background, maybe where they live, maybe where they work, maybe something that they're experiencing at the time, perhaps as refugees or something in that manner. And tonight, over 12,500 different people groups now have been targeted. We know where they're at. We know their names. We know something about them that do not have one, quote-unquote, evangelical church of any kind among them. You say, are you talking about people groups? What do you mean? Well, let's use one example. In Tokyo, Japan tonight, there are 220,000 men that are barbers. One city alone of the world, 220,000 barbers. They work Tuesday through Sunday. They're only off on Mondays. If they're to be reached, somebody probably's got to start a Bible study on Mondays in a barber shop. But somebody has to become conscious of them. Manila, Philippines, has 30,000 jeepney drivers. They work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. How do you reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? God has a key. God has the answer. May I tell you tonight, there are no impossible people. There are no closed doors. It all begins through intercession. You know many passages. We could look at Psalms 106 and verse 23. That one man was responsible for the sparing of an entire nation. Israel as a people, as a nation, the Jews as a people exist tonight because of the intercession of Moses. Thousands of years ago. Psalm 106:23 says, therefore he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath lest he should destroy them. One man. And the testimony of that prayer is before us today in a people. Now, there's a strange passage in the book of Ezekiel chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2 and 3. Instruction that God gave to the prophet Ezekiel. Many substances have been used to write upon. Animal skins, papyrus. But here the prophet was instructed to take some soft clay not yet baked and to draw a map or to portray upon it the city of Jerusalem. Ezekiel 4:1, thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it. Build a fort against it. Cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. There was a young man over 200 years ago in England, made his living repairing shoes. One day he got the idea of taking some scraps of leather, the pieces of leather that were lying on the floor, and sewing them together and making him a globe. And on that he tried to fashion as best he could some continents and some countries. And while he repaired shoes, he had that sitting before his bench and he began to pray. And he prayed for countries and he prayed for nations. So it was no accident one day that God called William Carey to go to India. One day he became responsible for almost 30 languages, getting the New Testament for the very first time. Maybe if you were to begin in your home, or maybe if you were to begin, then as God lays burdens, possibly he might begin to call in the same way. In a few moments I'll share with you some other answers to prayer, intercession, but I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles now and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 4. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, all are familiar with the story here of the encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. Especially verse 4, what I call your attention. He must needs go through Samaria. To the south was the province of Judea. Up to the north was the province of Galilee, and in between was Samaria. Now, the Jews that settled in Samaria did not drive out all of the tribes, as they had been commanded to do. They later intermarried, and so the Orthodox Jews looked upon the Samaritans as half-breeds and despised and hated them. In fact, if somebody was going to go from Judea up to Galilee, they usually didn't go through Samaria, even though that was the shortest route. Sometimes they would walk an extra day or longer just to go around so as not to have to go through Samaria. In fact, if the shadow of a Samaritan so much as fell on an Orthodox Jew, he considered himself unclean and had to go to the temple for cleansing. But the Lord Jesus was about to teach a very graphic object lesson to his disciples, and the only way was for them to see with their very own eyes. And the scripture says he must needs go through Samaria. And so they headed that way and had walked all day, were thirsty and tired and hungry, stopped by the city of Sychar, and the Lord Jesus Christ stayed there near the well, and the disciples went into town to get something to eat, and there came a fallen, sinful woman to draw water. And the Lord Jesus began to deal with her, and she found everything that she'd ever longed for. She found the very satisfaction of her soul in Jesus Christ at that time. You know what she did? She went running. She went back to town. Now, think a moment. I mean, what kind of qualifications did she have? How much Bible did she have under her belt? Probably every person within the sound of my voice tonight, you have a whole lot more Bible than that woman had. There's probably no one finding themselves tonight in the moral condition of that woman at that time. Yet she went back to town. And you'll find the greatest harvest in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ up to this time was where it just wasn't supposed to be. I mean, it wasn't in Judea. It was in Samaria. And who was used? Verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did." All she did was, in her very own words, tell what Jesus had done for her. What does that tell us tonight? That God can use anybody. God can use the testimony of anyone tonight who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, they went out to see the Lord. Verse 40, "So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. He abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word." A great harvest. But have you ever realized a verse that we quote lots of times is found in this context? In the middle of all of this is verse 35. Verse 35, the first parts of it was a very common, everyday saying among the Jews. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest." Isn't it a common saying? Well, it's not harvest time yet. It's the wrong time of the year. Circumstances are not right. It lacks 4 months yet till the time. Well, really and truly, according to the world and all the circumstances and politics and everything that you might conjure up tonight about the world, there is no ideal time in that respect. But it was a common saying. It's just, well, this is not the time. It isn't time. And then the Lord said, and this happens to be a command, very clear in other languages, the imperative tense, command form of the verb, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They are white already unto harvest. Lift up your eyes." What does it mean to lift up your eyes? Well, the dictionary says to lift something, you have to expend some energy. There's some exertion involved to lift something. You work against the law of gravity. It's possible that for a long time, we've been looking down, we've been looking in, we've been looking at ourselves. And right before us all the time has been a harvest, and we haven't seen it. And so he commanded the disciples, lift up your eyes. It may take some discipline. It may take some effort. It may take some exertion. I mean, you may have to do something you're not accustomed to doing, something you've never ever done before. And then the next clause says, "And look on the fields." Again, a command, look. To look is to see with understanding or recognition. But how many times are we preoccupied and something goes by right in front of our eyes and it never registers? Maybe you offended someone because you were distracted and they went by right in front of you and you didn't speak to them or give them your hand. And they were offended. You saw them, but you didn't see them. I mean, they were right in front of you, but you didn't see them. And you know, apparently for the believer in Jesus Christ, there are no accidents. The Lord allows people to cross our path every day many times. And many never, ever see them. They're there. They've been there all the time. Someone said today, if you don't go to the world, God just may send the world to you. And that's exactly what He's been doing. I don't know what you have in San Antonio, but I would guess tonight you probably have over 40 different language groups in this city alone. Most of those are not being targeted by anybody. They're not on anybody's heart. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. See them as blind, dead, lost, hopeless, helpless, without God, without Christ, souls for whom Jesus Christ died. They are white already to harvest. Oh, but you know, I hear all over, everywhere, all these excuses about the days in which we're living and old or sick. I mean, is He no longer Almighty Jehovah God? He is. He still is. Has something happened to the Word of God? Has this lost its power? Is the gospel no longer the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth? Can this book no longer break stony hearts to pieces? May I tell you tonight, it's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the Holy Spirit is still the third person of the Trinity. You know, the unsaved cannot quench the Holy Spirit. The only people who can quench the Holy Spirit are the people of God. When it comes down to it, it's not the problem of that person out yonder somewhere. Comes back to us. Not a problem with God, not a problem with the Scriptures, not a problem with the Holy Spirit. It's we who do not really believe what God can do. They're white already on the harvest. Maybe help you understand just a little bit more tonight. It would help to, I realize that what figures and statistics are and all that type of thing. I don't want them to be something cold or something in that respect tonight, but I hope somehow you can see through and see behind. We're not interested in this figure here that deals with Roman Catholic and Russian Orthodox and Greek Orthodox and state churches, where if you're born in Norway or somewhere that you're automatically a member of the state church. I don't know about that number. But what we're interested in tonight is the red, which represents 47% of the population of planet Earth tonight, who's not one time heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not even one time. That means almost 3 billion souls. Almost 3,000 million souls. Not even one time has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never been any more exciting days in the days in which we're living tonight, to know and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's information and there's tools at our fingertips tonight. We know where these people are. They can be found in 5 major groups of people: among the Chinese, among the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhist, and the tribes of the world. In fact, much information has been compiled for us tonight. And we know how many in each of these groups, 5 different groups of people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those millions represent individual souls who never one time has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of the so-called evangelical workers, both missionaries and national pastors. Look at some of those. Look at the Hindu world. Only 100 missionaries and pastors. 533 million people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ one time. Then what about some of the countries of the world? Now, some of this has changed a bit, I'm happy to tell you tonight, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But the red, these countries, represents the nations of the world where there is not one, has not been one evangelical church, and that term is quite loose as well, not one evangelical church is existing tonight in these countries. One of those is one of those countries that you're going to have the opportunity of having a ministry in. And that's another one of those countries that the doors have been opened because of intercessory prayer. The little country of Albania, since 1945, was a communist country, was known as the most harsh and ruthless regime in all of Eastern Europe, was the first nation in the world to proclaim itself a totally atheistic nation. All 2,169 religious buildings in that country were shut down and closed. Believers were killed. There were not one known believer left. But I'm happy to tell you tonight, there are several fundamental, at least three or four fundamental missionaries there tonight who've been there almost 2 years. There are four or five little fellowships of believers tonight that are meeting together. Two of those I saw in a conference surrender to go to the mission field, and their church sent them out in Alabama 100%. But would you focus in on this country as well, that as the gospel tracts are placed in the newspaper in the latter part of the month of September in Albania, that God, that which He's begun to do, He would continue in that country. Now, in the red a moment ago, there was another country there, and I should have pointed out those countries. Let me go back and point out several of those. In West Africa, of course, in Mauritania and Libya. Down here is the Maldive Islands, and this happens to be Mongolia. Mongolia. Between the People's Republic of China and the former Soviet Union, since 1925, has been a communist nation. Closed country. A number of people began to focus in on Mongolia in prayer. Just about this time 2 years ago, I took a team to Barcelona, and we worked the streets of Barcelona during the 92 Olympics for 17 days. We found some young people from Mongolia who gladly, openly received gospel literature. Just about that same time, there were some that went through Mongolia passing out gospel literature as they were tourists, and a number trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Tonight, there possibly may be 100 believers in Mongolia. Several little fellowships. The country tonight has requested English teachers, and it's possible to go under a salary to Mongolia, paid by the government, to teach the English language. Don't you think it's time we prayed some fundamentalists into that situation? And then the Maldive Islands. Out in the Indian Ocean, about 400 miles out there, is a number of islands, not a great number of people, about 180,000 people. No known believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. No radio broadcasts from the outside. Not a single verse of scripture in their tongue. In the description of that country, it's described as a national way of life, perversion and vice. Very few families are joined together in legal matrimony. I won't take the time tonight to tell you of a similar encounter in Barcelona with a number of young people on one of the Olympic teams. But the Maldive Islands tonight, this may be a little difficult to understand. This is known, they've begun to call it today, the 10th 1040 window between the 10th and 40th parallel. Tremendous amount of information has been gathered, and it's been found that 97% of the least evangelized nations in the world can be found among 55 countries that find themselves in this belt right across both sides of the equator. What does that tell us tonight? We must lift up our eyes and look on the fields, and somehow there must be someone that will begin to take these nations and begin to focus on those nations in intercessory prayer. I mentioned those languages a moment ago. The dots on this world map locates and represents one of those tribes or languages that's without the Word of God tonight. Some 3,480 languages of the world, and they're living languages. I mean, these are groups anywhere from 100 people to 6 million people without a single verse of Scripture in their tongue. Now, there were several nations a moment ago in that 1040 window, and here's some of them. You see Mauritania in Libya. Nations perhaps you've never even known about. Not all that large, such as Mauritania with 2 million souls. Not one national believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is known in that country tonight. Somebody says, well, why is this? It goes back to the fact that they are a forgotten people. There is no one that cares for their soul. For many of these tonight, there is no one standing between them and God in intercession. Some of these countries across North Africa are fair-sized countries. Tunisia, with its 7 million people, 8 languages, 6 without the Scripture, an entire country with possibly 50 believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a country, an entire nation, where there are only 2 couples, husbands and wives, together that are believers in Jesus Christ? Morocco, large country. And when we were in Spain working the Olympics, there were many, many people from North Africa. And we had gospel literature in North African Arabic, and we ran out. We didn't have enough. As everyone said, they'll not take it. And they gladly, many of them, took gospel literature. But especially these nations, Algeria with 17 million, possibly 150 believers and 6 little groups across the country. It was mentioned tonight of North Korea. 72% of the population has not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone there tonight, they are meeting in secret and underground. There are no known churches or believers left. In the early 50s, hundreds of thousands of believers were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. But what God has done in the former Soviet Union, what He did throughout Eastern Europe, He can do tonight for North Korea in intercession as well. Another one of those difficult countries, Afghanistan, Vietnam, the former Soviet Union, 16 million souls. But did you know tonight that 4.5 million people from this one country have had to become refugees? In Pakistan tonight, very poor country, there are 400 refugee camps with 4.5 million Afghans there with their eyes back on their country, waiting for that day when they'll go back. Our oldest son, Bruce, worked in Nicaraguan refugee camps in Honduras and found that as many as half the people in a refugee camp of 6,000 to 8,000 people would begin to study the Bible correspondence courses, because it was like a concentration camp. They couldn't go out to work. They were in barbed wire, guarded by soldiers. The United Nations brought in all their food. They had nothing else to do. And there were some that would spend 20 and 25 hours a week in those Bible courses in those refugee camps. And in Pakistan, Afghanistan is closed. Pakistan's a Muslim country that's open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because of the fact that somebody hasn't lifted up their eyes and looked on the field, they've not been conscious of what could be possible in 400 refugee camps as those people go back one day. Bruce trained some 12 or 15 men in one refugee camp. He hasn't been back to visit them. But they went back and have started congregations in Nicaragua and in a number of different parts of Nicaragua. But they were trained while they were in refugee camps. And I could go on and on tonight and share with you country after country after country. And I'm afraid I'll overwhelm you, but let me especially draw your attention to Iran with its 66,438 towns and villages, and only 6 out of all that number have a resident witness of the Lord Jesus Christ there. That means in only 6 of those towns and villages, out of all that number, there's only 6 that have somebody living in them that's capable of explaining the plan of salvation. What should it cause us to do tonight? Well, if God could use a fallen woman, God could bring about a harvest in Samaria, I want to tell you tonight, He's still Jehovah God.
Amen.
What He's done before, He can do again. And the eyes of the Lord do run to and fro tonight. He seeks for that one. I wonder if there could be just one that would take a nation, a country, or a tribe that's never heard. Thank you.